Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Lenore, how do you use your difference to make a difference?
Well, Tayo, you jumped straight into the many ways that my upbringing and professional background is quite different than that of a typical venture capital investor. I think the difference I can make is bringing to market a new kind of venture capital fund, one that sees a founder as a whole person, one that supports them as a whole person, and one that creates a network of support around them to help them achieve what they are in the world to achieve.
How you day? How you day? That was the voice of Lenore. We were talking about what an inclusive economy is, as well as what inclusive innovation is. We dove into challenges founders face. We dove into how her approach to helping founders become more resilient is different from other funds. And we also talked about the importance of community in the startup ecosystem and how Bright Ventures is a company that fosters this. I think this is an interesting episode because it not only tackles things from a high level overview, a big picture view, it also talks about what's happening on the ground. So the small picture. And the ability for us to think both big picture and small picture is necessary for us to solve some of the biggest problems that we have in our world today. So if you're a founder in an underrepresented community looking to partner up with a venture that is creating an ecosystem that allows you to use your unique skill set to solve problems, please make sure to check out the links in the show notes. If you know a founder is looking to partner up with funds that fully see them for who they are, please check out the links in the show notes. As always, your support is essential for this podcast to continue. So the reviews and the ratings help. And if you feel inclined, please share it with a loved one or a friend. The more you share, the more you leave reviews, the more you rate, the more visible we are. Thank you so much. Without further ado, enjoy the episode. Welcome everyone to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guest is Lenore Champagne Byrne. Now, Lenore is the founder and managing partner of Bright Ventures, a Black women-led fund and strategic advisory firm. Bright Ventures is on a mission to build the next generation of the inclusive economy through coaching, community, and capital. By mentoring ambitious leaders, fostering a supportive network of problem solvers, and investing in innovative ventures and diverse and underrepresented founders through their fund, Bright Ventures is holistically dismantling barriers to inclusion across the economic ecosystem. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Tayo. So great to be here.
The pleasure is mine. So I was reading your bio, and obviously we're in similar fields. You have a particular focus on the economic ecosystem. And in doing some research, and even in our pre-interview, you had talked to me about your particular proximity to some systemic breakdowns. I was wondering if we could start about your personal experience. What did you witness growing up that influenced you to start Bright Ventures?
Sure. So I fortunately or unfortunately, I had a pretty front row seat to some gaps in our nation's healthcare system, certainly our financial system, both on the personal side and business side. And also just access to opportunities to learn and to work. And I think those gaps, they did maybe frustrate me and challenge me as a young person, but I think they also, and mostly made me really curious. Like I couldn't reconcile the differences in access and opportunity that I saw particularly because they didn't seem to track to people's merit or potential. And so my curiosity about those gaps really led me on the path of reading a ton as a kid about money and how money worked, and also to kind of knocking on doors and trying to learn through experience in the workplace, finding mentors and people who would answer my questions patiently. So, very front row seat in Philadelphia to many of those gaps, but ultimately I think for the good of what we do today.
Were you born and raised in West Philadelphia?
No, not exactly West Philadelphia, but it's a good song. I'm from an area called West Oak Lane, which is on the north side of Philly. And then the rest of my family is outside of Philly in some of the Delaware County suburbs.
Gotcha. So I think that provides a great umbrella for the rest of the conversation because, right, you got to see the systemic breakdowns that led you down this path of seeking mentors, reading, and really just figuring out the gaps from yourself, right? You were looking at it from a lived experience perspective, you're studying from an academic perspective, but you're also getting the benefit of having people in the field tell you what it's like and, you know, what could really exist. So then my question then becomes, what have you found in your research that truly defines what an inclusive economy is? What exactly is an inclusive economy?
So the vision I hold for an inclusive economy is not one I've seen in real life just yet, but what I see as a place to strive for, or a state, an economic state to strive for, is an economy where every person can contribute according to their skills and also receive what they need. And that, unfortunately, isn't something I've seen yet, but I think there are little flashes of the possibility inside certain organizations or small communities that inspire me. We at Bright tend to aim to create the potential for an inclusive economy through systemic shifts, particularly in health, wealth, and work.
Health, wealth, and work. And could you talk a little bit more about how your approach to investment differs when working with women and, you know, minority-led startups? Because health, wealth, and work, you said, like the tagline, but I'm curious about what makes yours really different.
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to take you, first I want to zoom out a little bit and give broadly some context on how we invest thematically. So we thematically invest in inclusion. And then it's important to know, because there's so many different ways that investment groups can come to market, Bright Ventures specifically invests in early stage technology and software companies. There's tons of other ways to invest, but that's what we invest in. And inside of early stage software and technology companies, what we look for are companies that can fill the gaps in our healthcare system. So for example, today our healthcare system serves millions of Americans, but also underserves, particularly lower income Americans and Americans of color. When a company is built to close that gap, that becomes interesting to Bright. That company, when being built to close that gap, is often, not always, but often led by someone who's seen that gap firsthand, right? So often someone who came from a lower income background or someone who is an American of color. And so given that, that's sort of like thematically how this takes shape. Inside of the healthcare system, I get really interested in software and technology specifically that helps clinicians make better decisions and improves their ability to deliver high quality care. And secondarily, improves access to care. So again, for Americans who don't have great access to healthcare. Yeah. In wealth or in finance, I'm interested in the gaps in our banking system. We know, again, our banking system touches all of us in some way, but does it serve us all? No, particularly, again, lower income Americans, communities of color. And so we get interested in companies in fintech that close those gaps. And then in work, what I mean by that is I think there's a few things that are interesting happening there. Some are really similar to the other two sectors I mentioned, but what we also see is the enterprise needs to be more inclusive in order to be resilient for today's workforce. We also need tools for people like you, Tayo, who have tremendous creative vision and potential and who have designated expertise in a specific area that may work outside of the enterprise. We need tools for people like you to continue to grow your impact, reach, and business. And so those are the kinds of tools that we invest in that category.
I appreciate that breakdown, because even if you're talking, I can start from the last part. You said, when you said people like me, that we have this creative economy that has really exacerbated, it's grown since COVID hit. And You have a lot of people who are wondering how to monetize their skill sets, and a lot of people that look like you and I who are feeling the inequities within the system, right? Where is it? Do they have the right community? Do they feel like people that are getting compensated more are actually doing more harm because they're not as well learned in the industry? And I'm wondering if from your experience, you've been able to identify that work gap that exists where you can actually create like a proper pipeline for people like us to be able to solve the problem in industries that do need the expertise from people like us.
So I think this question sort of, I think there's a similar answer across the board for this question in that this problem is bigger than any one company or any one person can solve, right? This is going to take a whole bunch of tools and a whole bunch of products.
Yeah.
But the ways that I hope companies come at this and some of the ones that we're invested in, think about something as specific as how do I help a hiring manager see the potential in a Gen Z applicant who may not have work history, but has tremendous inherent potential, right?
Exactly.
So that's like a question that a whole company can ask and answer. Separately, there are companies, for example, that say, how can I get someone who's got a specific gift or talent like you, share their content with the world and actually monetize that, unlike what happens on traditional social media, where we're sort of at the mercy of the algorithm, right? And so there's this is a fortunately or unfortunately, the need is so vast that there's a whole world of possibility for how tech and software can show up in filling that gap.
Yeah.
But those are some examples of the kinds of business models that I think will be effective.
No, I appreciate that example, because even when we go to health and wealth and the other two aspects of what you work on, the problem is known by many people, right? There's some systemic barriers. And these are barriers to inclusion, and it actually prevents people from, people in several communities from actually being able to be seen more, heard more, and to be utilized more. The interesting thing that happens right now in America is an election year, is you have a lot of people saying things like you're saying, right? We're going to da-da-da-da-da, and then inevitably it doesn't always happen, which has then left a lot of people in the private sector. And you said the word hope a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if we could turn hope into action based on your research, because I see a lot of apathy and a lot of hopelessness sometimes, because it's the attitude is, well, the system, it is what it is. Yeah. And I feel like you're saying, no, the system can be this. But let me show you how it works. How can we get that to turn into action?
Ugh, Tayo, I feel so seen. That's exactly what I'm saying, is we can't let this be that. This cannot be it. We cannot stop here, right?
Yeah.
And so, I think you're pointing to two important principles. One is that, and I'll reiterate, the gaps in our country are too big for any one person or any one group to solve. And so the only way is to show up and do what you can do. One of the first principles at Bright Ventures, our core values, is that every human has a unique and a valuable role to play. I truly believe that. And so if that is true, then one, we got to find those humans whose unique and valuable role is creating solutions and invest in them, capitalize them so that they can build what they see. And two, we have to make it incumbent upon those who have capital and power and access to build systems that actually reflect the inherent value of every person.
Yeah.
To give you a more tactical answer, I think about one of the companies in Bright's portfolio that has the largest direct impact on creating hope where hope is often gone. That company is called OptionsMD, and OptionsMD addresses what's known in among clinicians as serious mental illness. This is often a scenario where a patient has been diagnosed, tried one treatment, it's failed. Tried a second treatment, it's failed. At that point, it's called treatment-resistant mental illness. So we've got treatment-resistant depression, treatment-resistant bipolar disorder. These are mental illnesses that can be debilitating for the person experiencing them and have huge impact on their family and community. And you can really feel hopeless in that moment, right? The treatment isn't working. What OptionsMD did is expand the solution set. So they did a ton of research through direct work with patients, found a they found combinatory therapies that when put together actually create interesting results, and they match those through software to the patient based on cultural factors, social factors, previous treatments tried. And so they effectively see the patient more in a more detailed way than a clinician typically can in a 15 or 20 minute intake. They also make it easier for a clinician to serve their patients in an efficient way and in an effective way over time. And so what you're asking about, like how do we productize and make hope tactical, is exactly the question that our fund asks. And we invest in solutions that we think solve very specific, but also unfortunately quite prevalent challenges.
I love that. I was just about to ask you about a success story that exemplifies the impact of private venture. So you just said that with OptionsMD. So please, anyone listening, check out OptionsMD, because that is a serious problem. And I think that that gap is something that a lot of medical professionals miss out on. And then leads to a host of other problems.
Yes.
Sorry. Did you want to say something else? Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, disagreeing with you. You're exactly right. It cascades into a host of other problems. And it's when those challenges layer one on the other that hope gets even more scarce.
Exactly. And then on the flip side of this, you've obviously been in this for a while. What are the most common challenges that you see founders facing, and how do you guide them through those hurdles? I know mentorship is a big factor, aspect of what you do. So I'm curious.
Oh gosh. Yeah. So I find that founder challenges fall into sort of two broad buckets, and they require different treatment. So first we find that founders will run into sort of mindset challenges. I'm tired. I'm overwhelmed. I'm not sure I can do this. I'm experiencing self-doubt, right? This is where the word that you pointed to, hope, starts to become a key factor. When we're not seeing a hopeful founder, we might have some real issues there. And that usually requires a combination of rest, encouragement, and support in order for a founder to move through those things. And we think that's hugely important. The second category is more technical. So like, do you have access to the capital you need? Do you know what person to hire, and do you know how to find that person? It's actually on the capital side, it's the same question. Do you know how to find the person who can make the investment that you need? When there's a new direction for your company, do you know how to execute that? When it's time to exit your company, do you know who to call to buy your company or help you IPO it? Those tactical things are a much easier sell, right? Those are introductions and networks, and there are playbooks for them. And so in those instances, we seek to address those founder challenges through our community at Bright, which is a strategic network. We call it the constellation because the concept there is everyone's a star and we're connecting our dots in different ways.
Love that.
And on the first set of challenges, the mindset challenges, those are really addressed through a team of coaches and therapists that partner with Bright to support our founders and their well-being.
I can already see this as a differentiator between, you know, between your fund and other funds, because that mindset is something that I feel like isn't tackled enough. You know, I go to therapy, but it's never a factor of any of my business ventures, you know, because depending on who you talk to, it's, you know, hustle hard, or it's who you know, and everybody goes through this. And so sometimes you might feel a little bit like an imposter, you might give into your perfectionism, and then, you know, you might get distracted by what everybody else is doing. And so it's interesting.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, that comparison thing is really tough. One of the things that I've heard from founders recently that's been that I have a lot of empathy for as an entrepreneur myself is that their therapists are telling them, well, just do less or just slow down, right? And I think as a founder with a really big vision, and also particularly if you're someone who's taken on capital, right? And there are expectations on you, or just you're someone who provides for your family. The do less and slow down narrative doesn't always feel like a complete solution for a founder. And so, right, we try to you're clearly not satisfied with that answer either. Yeah. So we try to I can just feel the impatience in you. You're like, no, absolutely not. I see you and feel you there. But yeah, right, we try to have our coaches and therapists have significant experience coaching leaders who are visionary and who don't necessarily want to stop doing what they're doing, but want to learn how to do it and breathe while they do, right? So stay in motion in a sustainable way.
I just felt like I was in a session and I was getting triggered. So I was like, yes. But you know what? It's actually true though. We come from this mindset, right? I'm an immigrant, I'm from Nigeria, and even in a lot of underrepresented communities, you have a lot of people, whether they're the first, second generation, or third generation, there's this idea of just do what you need to do, deal with all these things so that you can eventually provide for everyone else. And sometimes what happens in that dynamic is you put yourself last, right? You're thinking that they call it the black tax sometimes. You're paying this, you're going back, you go, you did that. And so you're forgetting yourself. And it's not that either is good or bad. It's just there's got to be some balance unique enough for each founder that I'm glad to hear that you actually paired them up with mentors that can actually figure out what that balance and dynamic would be for that individual.
Yes, for that individual. And I would even go further and say for that individual at that time, right?
Oh,
Because sometimes it is sprint season and sometimes it is not, right? And so the one of the things that we see as a mark of a really mature and grounded founder is the ability to notice what season they're in and match their pace to their season.
And not that is always harvest season,
Yeah,
sometimes it's time to
exactly.
hibernate. Okay, all right. With the balancing of financial aspects, I'm curious about this. I always ask founders this, but I want to ask you this. How do you balance the financial aspects of investment with the mission-driven goals of Bright Ventures?
So first principles, I wouldn't even try to bring this thesis to market if I didn't actually believe that you could drive market or better than market returns with this strategy, right? So just to start there, I don't see the concept of impact and the concept of market return as in conflict inside of our strategy. I can't speak for others, but I say that because the American workforce is changing. There are five generations in the workforce for the first time. They have vastly different relationships to technology, to work, to money. We also have a more diverse workforce than ever before because our country is more diverse, right? Racially and demographically more broadly. And so the point that I make and what our thesis asserts is that you're not going to make market returns unless you build businesses and lead in a way that reflects the color and texture of the market that we have today. It's a new market. It requires a new kind of leadership. So first principles, I don't see those two things as in conflict. When you take that and you put that inside of an actual founder relationship, right? Because you just heard me talk about the way we like to show up for founders. We like to be able to provide them the support that they need. We like to go deep with them, build both tactical and sort of holistic, well-being focused relationships. When you introduce money into that conversation, can that provide some tension? Absolutely. And so I'm going to answer your question in that way as well, because I think that's an important extension of it. What we have found is that clarity kind of cuts through that noise. So when we're transparent, this is our follow-on strategy. We will or won't likely follow on in your company after we make this first investment. Or your company actually doesn't fit our investment thesis, but we're really interested in you and supporting you. And so we're going to refer you over to our community, right? Like if we aren't clear on what we're able to do and where we stand, it replicates or makes people feel like we're replicating the bias that exists outside of Bright Ventures in ways that are harmful. And so it's quite important to us to be transparent and clear with founders and to set expectations that we are confident that we can achieve.
I love that. Yeah, and as you're setting these expectations, are you teaching them how to ask themselves the right questions? Sometimes I feel like companies and startups aren't asking the right questions. I mean, there's what everybody thinks the right question is, but I feel like there could be like a drill down approach where people could ask another layer of why to then get to the problem that they want to solve. And I'm just curious about that as well.
Yeah, so the way that we think about this is getting on the same side of the table. So the typical founder-investor relationship is, it can be oppositional, right? It can be that you feel like your incentives are not aligned or you're playing at odds. At Bright, we believe, especially at the stage where we invest, which is quite early in a founder's journey, it's important that we can see the whole field and we can see it together. Yes. And so we will get in the weeds and build a spreadsheet with you and look at, okay, what is the personal wealth you're trying to generate for you and your family? What is the dilution that you're going to take by raising this next round of these terms going to mean for how much you own, right? Like, we'll ask and answer those questions alongside founders. I am not in the business of making, I don't want to do deals that the other person doesn't understand, right? And I think that learning, we all have to be able to learn together. And so we try to be highly tactical with founders in making sure that we're, one, putting together deals that they feel really compelled by and motivated to do, but two, making sure that they leave Bright better equipped to navigate the landscape as a whole. I know that I am forever grateful for the people who did that for me.
No, that's amazing. The reason I was asking that question is because when I was reading about you, Bright, you had said something about inclusive innovation. We talked about inclusive economy earlier. But you believe that inclusive innovation addresses barriers to inclusion by creating resilient, adaptable business systems while considering the breadth of individual behaviors, organizational structures, and systemic obstacles. Sounds like what you just described right now, but I haven't heard anyone describe it that way before. That's an all-encompassing way of doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I was very curious about that.
Yeah, thanks for asking. I do think... I do believe that inclusion, so the shorthand way that we describe inclusive innovation is it's building the future together, right? So actually in partnership. And I think that that requires both engaging at the highest levels of power and leadership to shift systems. I also think it means being deeply tactical, being on the ground and making sure that those who are coming up have the information and relationships they need to create a new future.
Wow. Yeah. So that high level overview and then just that ability to also be on the ground. So big picture, small picture simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about hope for the future. we are currently watching a lot of culture wars take place, right? Some of these culture wars directly impact what you and I would describe as inclusion, equity, and in your case, inclusive innovation and inclusive economy. You have maybe one side steadfast on going back to what they define as traditional values or traditional views. And depending on how you look at it, it could be exclusive. And then you have another side who is looking to advocate for who they are and what they want. And sometimes it's generational, but there's still this resistance and barrier. There's fatigue, there's resilience, there's my way versus your way, not a lot of active listening. How do you have hope for inclusion and startup environments in these culture wars? What are you seeing that is going to happen post 2024 election?
If I could predict that, we wouldn't be on this podcast, but I will tell you what makes me hopeful, Tayo. What makes me hopeful is that I increasingly encounter founders who seem to have more loyalty and interest in making their vision happen than in doing it, quote unquote, right. And what I mean by right is like the traditional way versus this way or that way. And so these founders are unencumbered by the labels inside of a moral argument. And they're sort of like rejecting the premise and saying, listen, I'm sorry, the data says that a more diverse team outperforms, right? Great. I want my company to perform. So I'm going to do that. And I think that attitude of like, how do we get this done? Not might we, should we, what sort of this like abstracted moral argument. I think seeing founders lean into that question has been one source of hope for me. I think the other source of hope, Tayo, is just that As I said when I described that we don't see impact and market returns in conflict, I do think we're reaching a tipping point where certain tools and frameworks of thought are just so outdated that I don't think that they can win, right? Yeah. And so I think the Founders in Brights portfolio and many of our colleagues and friends and Constellation members are just really focused on doing work that we know works. And I'm happy about that, proud of that, and hopeful because of it.
I agree. When I've been asked that question, I've often said something to the effect of like adaptive humanization. I feel like we don't humanize each other enough. And a lot of times when we're humanizing each other, you actually get to see the layers of the people, right? And the systems that they exist in, those intersections, if you will. And when we go to the archaic systems, like you're saying, you get into a lot of problems. Men do this, women do this, Black people do this, immigrants do that. And a lot of people are, whether they realize it or not, are given too much power to that level of bias and not acknowledging enough of the privilege and power that comes with that, and then perpetuating these systemic barriers in, you know, human behavior. Oftentimes, if you get rewarded enough, you start to lose incentive to want to do anything else. And I get a little frustrated with people that talk out of, you know, different sides of their mouth when they are part of the perpetrators of the problem, without realizing that there's an influence that they can have to mentor, to recreate an ecosystem, to dismantle said archaic models that we have, and then courageously, I wouldn't even want to say courageously, just it put forward a different solution and then stand by it despite the inevitable resistance. And I think if people can't get past that resistance, we unfortunately might stay with the status quo. And that's where I think a lot of the resilience that you teach your founders comes into play, because that resilience is inevitable. It's just, how do you stick through that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're pointing to, I think, some fundamental ingredients for innovation more broadly. And that's another reason I love working in tech, is that tech is about creating a future. And so if you've got people who are intentional about the future they're creating, building it, I think that gets exciting. In terms of resilience, I do think it's so much about pacing, right? Because there's going to be resistance. I mean, anytime I talk about any of these issues, there's a message or a question, not from like a you, but in the chat somewhere about like, you know, if this is what an inclusive economy is, I don't want it to exist, right? That happens. That's going to happen. And yeah. And what? We have to keep working, right? So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Resistance is a form of joy. So... there's that as well. I for the audience listening, I hope you can take heed to a lot of what Lenore is saying, right? I think you've been going back and forth between the mindset and the practical aspects of it. You're not sacrificing one for the other. You are able to look at the landscape, understand and assess and diagnose what the problems are, while, you know, creating, you know, an ecosystem for people to go out and use their expertise to solve the problems. But then you're also being aware and mindful of the fact that, you know, we are humans. We do have moments where we have burnouts, you know, triggers, and moments where we might feel less than. And so do you have a community to help mm-hmm. you, remind you of your value as you seek to be your best self to solve a problem? I think that's a unique way of looking at it. So, yeah, just wanted to say that.
I appreciate that so much. And I think, you know, I appreciate you calling us back to the fact that folks might be listening and taking in what, you know, you just posed a really big question. And it's a question that's created a tremendous amount of stress in our country at an individual level and at a societal one. And what I want to also share is everyone has a unique and valuable role to play, but you only have to play your role. Right? Just do your role. So like Bright and I are not positioned to solve everything. I can do what I can do. And you're gifted and talented in whatever the ways that you are. So do the part that you play, the part that you can play in. And for, I know for me, that requires a lot of trust that other people are playing theirs. But part of the hope that I have is that I see people often from quite a distance playing a role that's theirs. And it's nice to know that other people have other things covered as well.
That's true. That's true. You are enough. And it's the sooner you embrace your level of enough, the more impact you can make. But you also extended a branch there. You extended a connection tool here. You said people can reach out to you. So if someone is listening and they are thinking that they fit
the criteria of business that you like to get involved with, how can they reach out to you?
So yes, if you're interested in Bright's work and you want to be in touch, feel free to follow me, Lenore Champagne Byrne, as well as Bright Ventures on LinkedIn. If you're the founder of or thinking about becoming the founder of a pre-seed, seed, or series A stage software technology company in fintech, digital health, or the future of work, there's a form on Bright's website that actually goes directly to my inbox. I review all of the companies that come in through that, and we will absolutely be in touch if there's a match.
Perfect. I'll make sure I put that in the show notes. And but before I go, I always ask my guests this final question, and it's my mission statement reframed as a question. My mission statement is use your difference to make a difference. So, Lenore, how do you use your difference to make a difference?
Well, Tayo, you jumped straight into the many ways that my upbringing and professional background is quite different than that of a typical venture capital investor. I think the difference I can make is bringing to market a new kind of venture capital fund, one that sees a founder as a whole person, one that supports them as a whole person, and one that creates a network of support around them to help them achieve what they are in the world to achieve.
Wow, that's well said. Whole self, the wholeness and the whole person. I feel like a lot of people are probably snapping their fingers right now hearing the concept that they can be their full selves without having to worry about compromising aspects of their identity. So I want to commend you on creating such a safe space for that, because I think it's tremendously important to be that level of psychologically safe as you're trying to advance and fight against systemic oppression and systems of oppression and suppression, rather. So thank you so much, though, for your work. Here's to creating more bright ventures out there and making sure that the bright minds are you know making sure that the lights aren't as dimmed as they sometimes seem. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much, Tayo. Yeah, no, it's an honor. I really appreciate you having us.
The pleasure is mine. Until next time, kings, queens, and royalty, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.